When I was a boy growing up on Lake Michigan, the beaches were covered with an invasive ocean fish called alewife. They traveled up the St. Lawrence Seaway and populated the Great Lakes. And by the mid-1950s, they littered the beach by the millions. The answer to this problem came in the late 1960s, when coho salmon were introduced into the Great Lakes. The salmon were planted in streams off of the Manistee River in my hometown. In a few short years, the alewife, a favorite of the salmon, were controlled, and my hometown became a fishing mecca. In late summer, you would see the salmon returning to their spawning grounds. These huge, mature salmon, with noses turning white and bellies and backs turning black, would lumber along on the bottom of the water to spawn up the streams of the river. A salmon has an instinct to bring itself back to the place of its birth. After spending 2 or 4 years in the lake, they would swim back upstream of their birth, the salmon preparing to die. These salmon came back to the place of their origin. At the end of their long, laborious journey, they dig a hole, lay their eggs, and die. And out of those eggs comes the new life. For it is only through dying that there is new life among the coho. The gospel story for today finds Jesus 6 days before he is going to die. How would you feel if you knew you were going to die this coming Friday, 6 days from now? Now, if you knew that you were going to die this Friday, wouldn't you be preoccupied with death, distracted by it? Would you not become philosophical about death and life and maybe be terrified as well? In this passage today, Jesus is philosophical about death. He is philosophizing. He is thinking. He's contemplating. It is only 6 days until he is going to die a very painful death. The story in today's gospel is set in the city of Jerusalem. It's Passover time. Literally, thousands of people are gathered in Jerusalem from all over the world, crammed into its city walls. In this massive humanity, there are a couple of Greeks in the crowd. They came up to the disciples and wanted to talk with Jesus. These Greek travelers came and listened to the conversation of the disciples. And they heard one disciple in particular had a Greek accent. Philip, who was from Bethsaida, was from Bethsaida, which was a Greek-speaking town on the western side of the Sea of Galilee. The Greeks must have thought, this guy speaks Greek, he must be one of us. And so they approached Philip and asked him in Greek, can we see Jesus? And that's often the question John poses in his gospel. Can we see Jesus? Philip went to Andrew and the two went to Jesus and said, there are two Greeks here who want to see you. Now you think that Jesus would have answered them directly, but he didn't. Jesus was distracted. Now you think that preoccupied with his death in 6 days, he says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it produces many grains of wheat. For whoever will find his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will find it. If anyone would serve me, they must follow me. He meant they must follow me into death. Now that's a weird answer. Doesn't it seem like a weird answer? All these Greeks wanted to do was see Jesus, but he was preoccupied, distracted, thinking about his death. And like most people I've encountered near death, Jesus is asking a deeper, more overriding question. Did I do okay? Did this life I lived amount to anything? Does my life make any sense? What was the purpose of my life? For Jesus, the answer comes like the seed. The purposes of Jesus' life comes in the death that leads to new life. His life actually has deeper meaning for him in his dying. Jesus' words are so visual. If a seed is planted into the ground and it does not die, it remains a seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds and seedlings, and those seeds and their seedlings produce much fruit. His words are visual, but it all begins with dying. Could it be that the key to life is death? Could it be that the key to living is dying? Could it be that dying is essential to our living? Let's consider what actually happens to a seed. I know I'm kind of talking to the choir because many of you are farmers for many years. Inside every seed is an embryo. And in that embryo is a root that goes down into the ground and a shoot that goes up to the sky. Every embryo has a root and a shoot. And inside that little embryo, there's an on and off switch to trigger the process of germination. Every seed has this little on and off mechanism. And when you plant a seed in the ground at just the right temperature for that seed, the mechanism goes off. But if the temperature is too low or too high, the mechanism stays off. Now, there is also a thin coat around each seed which protects oxygen from coming into it prematurely. Then, when this dormant seed is planted into the ground at just the right conditions, the switch goes on and the seed takes in water. It miraculously produces protein. And then out comes the little roots and the little shoots. And the shoots produce more seeds, which produce more fruit. And that's what happens when a seed dies. Yet when we apply it to this message to ourselves, as Jesus did, it is not easy to hear or contemplate. So there is a parallel between my story of the seed and of the salmon. In both the seed and the salmon, death is necessary for life. Dying is important for living. This is a fundamental law of life, that dying is important for our living. This is a law of human psychology, a law of human sociology, and a law of human relationships. It is a law of divine spirituality. And the law is this, what we heard today. It is in dying that we begin living anew. It is only by dying first before we live more fully. And this is not just our physical death. Dying to ideas that have outlived their usefulness. Dying to ways that are death-dealing and not life-giving. Letting old hurts or offenses die is essential for new life and relationships and fullness of life. If we didn't claim this teaching of Jesus is central to why we come here, we might as well shut off the chandelier and the last one to leave lock the door, because we're done with our work here. The prayer that is attributed to St. Francis understands this law very well. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life.